red shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Chapter 3 is a great chapter. It deals with the replacement of the glorious Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law, which Paul says was glorious, which means revealing the character, nature, characteristics, attributes of God, the glory of God, all that he is, expressed in the Old Testament, in the law, we see God's righteousness, his holiness. So it was a glorious covenant. It had its weakness, not in the covenant, not in the law, but in the fact that man's flesh could never live up to it. But it was nevertheless glorious, but then Paul goes into chapter 3 that it was replaced by a much more glorious covenant. And that is the New Testament. A much more glorious covenant. As the New Testament is brought in, which completes the old, brings the old to completion, and lets us see the entire perspective of God from the beginning to the end, of man's attempt to please God and is in himself, but of course fails, and God's provision for that failure, his son Jesus Christ. So Paul describes, in chapter 3, Paul describes Moses as returning from Mount Sinai, having been given the law, and it says that he had a veil over his face. When he came down, he had a hoodie on, and he had the hoodie flipped up, and he was covering his face. And they did not look straight into his face when he came down. And the reason for it was, Paul said, is because Moses was standing in the presence of God. And during that time he was in the presence of God, he absorbed the amazing, brilliant light that shone forth from the glory of God. And Moses was in the very presence of that glory. And he himself absorbed from that light. He absorbed it to the point where he himself was radiating. He himself was glowing, especially his face. And so with this amazing, brilliant, glowing face, Moses comes down from the mountain. But Paul says there's a veil over it. There's a veil over it, over his face, which was shining from the time he spent in the presence of God. Now, because of the veil, the people never really saw his face shining. Or if any did, there was very few that did. But the veil would remain there, and the people never saw that the shining, brilliant face of Moses was fading. The brilliance was fading over a period of days, and I don't know how much time it took, days, weeks, who knows. But that brilliance, that glory faded. And his face returned to normal again. And so he was using this as a metaphor, as an illustration. He said, just like Moses' shining face returned to normal, but the veil over it prevented the children of Israel from seeing that. They didn't see the return to normal. They didn't see the brilliance of it. And they didn't see the return to normal of the shining. So because of that, they did not see, and they cannot see. He said that is just like they are today. He said, they cannot see that the glory of the old is fading. It was hidden by a veil on Moses' face. And likewise, today, and we'll even bring that up to modern times today, people do not see the fading glory of the old covenant. And Paul said in chapter 3, there's a veil, only it's over their hearts. It's not over the face, it's over their hearts. And they cannot see that the old covenant has faded out and brought in the new. That it's been replaced by the new. And so even today, we have many believers, many Christians in today's Christianity who do not comprehend that the end of the old covenant had taken place, and therefore they bring portions of the old covenant into the new and distort the new. So they don't see that the old covenant has completely been replaced by a new covenant. And so what they do is they mix law with grace. I know when my first few years of a Christian, I was in those circles where they actually said that Christianity is really a mixture of law and grace. The Old Testament, it was all law. In the New Testament, we mix law with grace. And you have to have a little of both in order to balance it. You have to have a balance of law with grace. And they never saw the end of the Old Covenant. They couldn't comprehend it. They didn't grasp it. They didn't get it. The Old Covenant to them needed to be somehow brought into the new, and it somehow had to be mixed with the new. And they misread the rules that we mentioned recently in our Colossians class of the New Testament. They misread the rules to be laws, commands that they would be judged by. And they brought the old covenant philosophy and theology into the new. And they distorted the new and made it a religion. They make Christianity a religion instead of a relationship with a person. And it's not all grace. It's let's take the first step in grace, and then you got to walk in the law a little bit. And if you misstep, then you got to get back and find some grace to get back into it again. And you're always back and forth. And it's never all grace. It's always law with grace and grace with more law. There's always things added to it. But Paul goes into chapter 3. He says, but we have been made able ministers of the New Testament, qualified ministers. We have the message. And it's a grace message. And it's not mixed with the law. It is a 100% pure grace upon grace upon grace message. And it's grace that not only saves, but grace that transforms. Grace that teaches. Grace that changes people. And the law is not needed. Therefore, Jesus Christ fulfills the law in Matthew 5:17 and removes it from us so that we are no longer through our co-crucifixion with him and our co-burial with him, we are removed from the authority of the law, according to Romans chapter 6 and 7. And then we end up with a pure grace message. And when that takes place, then you have a relationship with a person and not just a form of godliness. Not just a form. So then we get into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, considering those things. And Paul said, we are able ministers of the New Testament, not of the old, because the old is the letter, and the letter kills. The old covenant, there's no life in that. It's all about measuring, judging, evaluating, striving, trying to live up, failure. All about those things, and there's no life in it at all. There's no life because there's no ability to move on. So in 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, since we have this ministry, what's the ministry? Able ministers of the New Testament, the new message, the grace message. We are able ministers of the New Testament as we have received mercy. And boy, we needed mercy. You're not going to be an able minister of the New Testament. You're not going to be an able minister of grace without mercy, because once you preach grace, you are on the devil's target. You are the most wanted. You're on his post office bulletin board with your name is right there, right on top. You are wanted to take down. He wants to destroy your walk as a Christian. Can't take you out of heaven, because that's a done deal. You're saved forever. But he wants to make sure that you don't affect or infect, as far as he's concerned, anybody else with this grace nonsense. And so you are a target once you preach grace. Just ask the Apostle Paul, ask the rest of the apostles, who were all martyred, except for John, who they attempted to martyr 3 different times. But they are targets because they preached a grace message. And that is going to be, that's without being paranoid about it, you are a target. And the only way to get through that, one of the great things about being a target is the accusations come flying against you. You'll be attacked. People will accuse you. The devil will accuse you. You'll find your own thoughts and your own heart coming up and rising against you, telling you you're not fit, you're not worthy, you're not qualified, you have nothing to say. You need to keep your mouth shut. You don't need to add your 2 cents into this at all. And it always wants to shut your mouth because they don't want grace coming out of it. Because when you open your mouth, you minister grace to the hearer. And then and the devil's crowd doesn't like that. The demons of hell don't like that. That is poison to them. We don't want grace. And so the only way a minister of the gospel, whether you're in the pulpit or whether you're in the pew, whether you're just ministering on the job site, the only way you're going to continue to minister is to have mercy heaped upon you so that you are worthy in Christ. Mercy removes it. You see, you can say, well, you're not worthy because you lost your temper, you did this, you did that, you have bad thoughts. You have all kinds of things in your life. Yeah, but I also have mercy, superabundant mercy. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds towards me. And I've got flaws, and God will deal with those. But in the meantime, I'm qualified through him who gave his life for me and whose righteousness I stand in. And that's mercy. I'm receiving mercy from God in order to continue. Because if I don't, my head will drop, and I'll feel unworthy, unfit. And I'll just quietly, if I continue to go into church, I'll quietly just sit there and say nothing to anybody. Because I feel unworthy, unqualified. And that's the devil's job, to make me feel that way. He wants to keep me ineffective and inactive in Christian service. And that Christian service doesn't have to be formal. It can be just where you work and your own family and the people that you God brings you in contact with, your neighbors, and so forth. If you are a light on the hill.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986.